Hi, it's Mr. Sharman. I'll be reading chapter 62 till the end of the book. Chapter 62, Atop a Giant Donut. The superhero flew over the sleeping world. The world was beautiful, and he was alive. Man, there sure are a lot of houses. They sure do look alike. Flora? Here I am, sitting on top of a giant donut. I wish Flora were here with me. Flora? Chapter 63, Little Fishes. A squirrel flies in, said Dr. Meacham. This I did not expect at all. It is what I love about life, that things happen which I do not expect. When I was a girl in Blundermeacon, we left the window open for this very reason, even in the winter. We did it because we believed something wonderful might make its way to us through the open window. Did wonderful things find us? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But tonight it has happened. Something wonderful. Dr. Meacham clapped her hands. A window has been left open. A squirrel flies in the window. The heart of an old woman rejoices. Ulysses' heart rejoiced too. He wasn't lost anymore. Dr. Meacham would help him find Flora. Also, Dr. Meacham might make him a jelly sandwich. Imagine, said Dr. Meacham. Imagine if I had been sleeping. What I would have missed. But then, always and forever, I have been an insomniac. You know what that is, insomnia? Ulysses shook his head. It means I do not sleep. When I was a girl in Blundermeacon, I did not sleep. Who knows why? It could be some existential terror related to the trolls. Or it could simply be because I do not sleep. Sometimes there are no reasons. Often, most of the time, there are reasons. The world cannot be explained, but I talk too much. I digress. I need to say to you, why are you here, and where is Flora Bell? Ulysses looked at Dr. Meacham. He made his eyes very big. If only there were some way to tell her everything that had happened. Flora's mother saying that life would be easier without her. The universe expanding. William Spivor's banishment. Flora's homesickness. The writing of his poem. The typing of the untrue words, the stone squirrel, the sack, the woods, the shovel. The squirrel was overwhelmed by everything there was to say and his inability to say it. He looked down at his front paws. He looked back at Dr. Meacham. Ah, she said, there is too much to say. You do not know where to begin. Ulysses nodded. Perhaps it would be good to begin with a little snack. Ulysses nodded again. When the other Dr. Meacham was alive and I could not sleep, do you know what he would do for me? This man would put on his slippers, he would go out into the kitchen, and he would fix for me sardines on crackers. You know sardines? Ulysses shook his head. Little fishes in a can. He would put the little fishes onto crackers for me, and then I would hear him coming back down the hallway carrying the sardines and humming, returning to me. Dr. Meacham sighed. Such tenderness to have someone get out of the bed and bring you little fishes and sit with you as you eat them in the dark of night, to hum to you, this is love. Dr. Meacham wiped at her eyes. She smiled at Ulysses. So, she said, I will make you what my beloved made for me, sardines on crackers. Does this seem like a good thing? Ulysses nodded. It seemed like a very good thing. We will eat because this is important to eat. And then, even though it is the middle of the night, we will go and knock on the door of Dr. George Buckman. And he will open the door to us because he is capacious of heart. And then George Buckman and I will figure out together why you are here and where our Flora Bell is. Ulysses nodded. Dr. Meacham went into the kitchen, and the squirrel sat on the windowsill and looked out into the dark world. Flora was out there somewhere. He would find her, she would find him, they would find each other, and then he would write her another poem. This one would be about little fishes and humming in the dark of the night. Chapter 64, A Miracle. Flora was on the side of the highway. There were, she had discovered, all kinds of ridiculous things strewn alongside of the road, shoes for one thing, and balled up knee-high stockings. and polyester slacks, baby blue ones with a permanent crease. Did people undress as they drove down the road? There were metal objects, hubcaps, a pair of rusty scissors, a spark plug, and there were truly inexplicable things. For instance, a plastic banana glowing a bright and unreal yellow in the dark. That one was interesting. Flora bent down to examine it more closely. What are you doing? Said William Spiver. He stopped too, because she was attached to him, and he was attached to her. Which is to say that William Spiver and Flora Bell Buckman were unbelievably still holding hands. I'm looking at a banana, said Flora. Tootie was marching ahead of them, holding the little shepherdess out in front of her and shouting Ulysses' name. William Spiver's hand was getting kind of sweaty, or maybe it was Flora's hand that was getting sweaty. It was hard to say. William Spiver was still crying, silently, and Ulysses still missing. And here they were, walking alongside a highway behind an unlit lamp, stopping occasionally to look at knee-high stockings and plastic bananas. It all must mean something. But what? Flora mentally flipped through every issue of The Illuminated Adventures of the Amazing Incandesto, every issue of Terrible Things Can Happen to You, and The Criminal Element Is Among Us, that she had ever read. She searched for some kind of advice, acknowledgement, the tiniest clue about what to do in this situation. She came up empty-handed. She was on her own. She laughed. What are you laughing about? Said William Spiver. Flora laughed louder. William Spiver laughed along with her. What's so funny back there? Said Tootie. Everything, said Flora. Whee, said Tootie. And then they were all laughing, except for Marianne, who couldn't laugh because she was inanimate. But even if she had been capable of laughing, she probably wouldn't have done it. She just wasn't that kind of lamp. They were all still laughing when the temporarily blind William Spiver stepped on the cord of the little shepherdess and tripped. And because he refused to let go of Flora's hand, or did she refuse to let go of his, Flora fell too. She landed on top of William Spiver. There was a crunch and then a tinkle. Oh no, said William Spiver. My glasses, they're broken. For heaven's sakes, William, said Tootie, you don't even need those glasses. Flora was so close to William Spiver that she could feel his heart beating wildly somewhere inside of him. She thought, I sure have felt a lot of hearts recently. Wait a minute, said William Spiver. He held his head up. Everyone be quiet. Shh. What are those tiny pinpricks of light? Flora looked where William Spiver was looking. Those are stars, William Spiver. I can see the stars. I can see. Great Aunt Tootie, Flora Bell, I can see. It's a miracle, said Tootie. Or something, said Flora. Chapter 65. Open the Door. The hallway of the Blixen Arms emitted the same green, gloomy light no matter the time of day or night. Watch out for the cat, said Flora. The infamous Mr. Kloss, said William Spiver. He looked around. He was smiling. The cat, who was defeated by a superhero squirrel. I will certainly keep an eye out for him, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but may I just say again what a delight it is to see. Talk about being born anew. Nothing will ever again escape my notice. Goody, said Tootie. I'm not kidding, said Flora. Mr. Claus could be anywhere. Yes, said William Spiver. My eyes are open. They are open indeed. Knock again, said Tootie. Flora knocked again. Where could her father be in the middle of the night? Had someone kidnapped him too? Was it kidnapping if it was an adult? Or was it an adult napping? Or George Buckham napping? And then she heard her father laugh. But the laugh wasn't coming from his apartment. It was coming from the apartment 267. Dr. Meesham, said Flora. Who? Said William Spiver. Dr. Meesham, knock on the door quick, said Flora to William Spiver. She pointed, and William Spiver raised his hand to knock just as the door to Dr. Meesham's apartment swung wide. Flora Bell, said Dr. Meesham. My little flower, our beloved. She was smiling very big. Her teeth were glowing. Ulysses was sitting on her shoulder. Behind Ulysses and Dr. Meesham was Flora's father. He was wearing his pajamas. His hat was on his head. George Buckham, said her father slowly. raising his hat to them all. "How do you do?" "Ulysses?" said Flora. She said his name like a question, and he answered. He flew to her. His small, warm, hopeful body hit her with a thud that almost knocked her off her feet. She wrapped her arms around him, herself around him. "Ulysses," she said, "I love you." "So much happiness," said Dr. Misham. "This is how it was when I was a girl in Blundermeekin. Like this. Always opening the door in the middle of the night and finding the face of someone you wanted to see. Well, not always. Sometimes it was a face of someone you did not want to see. But always, always in Blundermeekin, you opened the door because you could not stop hoping that on the other side, or if it would be the face of someone you loved." Dr. Misham looked at William Spivor and then at Tootie. She smiled. "And maybe, too, the face of someone you did not yet know, but might come to love." "Tootie Tickham," said Tootie. "It's a pleasure to meet you. And this is my nephew, William. I would shake your hand, but as you can see, I am in charge of this lamp." "Actually," said William Spivor, "I am her great-nephew, and my name is William Spivor, and I realize that it is early in our acquaintance for me to be revealing such astonishing and deeply personal information, but I must tell you that I was temporarily blind, and now I can see. Also, I feel compelled to say that your face is beautiful to me. In fact, every face is beautiful to me." He turned, "Your face, Florabelle, is particularly beautiful. Even the sepulchral gloom of this hallway cannot dim your loveliness." "Sepulchral gloom?" said Flora. "That's because she is a flower," said Flora's father. "My lovely flower." Flora felt herself blushing. "It is a lovely face, and the face of Flora Bell Bachman," said Dr. Misham. "It is truly beautiful. But you have all stood long enough outside. You must come inside now. Come." Chapter 66. "Will you please, please shut up, William Spivor?" "So," said Dr. Misham, "we have been speaking with Ulysses. We have been working to understand his story. From what we have put together so far, it involves a shovel and a sack and the woods and a poem and a giant donut," said Flora's father. Ulysses, sitting on Flora's shoulder, nodded vigorously. A distinctly fishy smell emanated from his whiskers. Flora turned to him. "Where is my mother?" she said. Ulysses shook his head. "Pop," said Flora, "where's Mom?" "I'm not certain," said her father. He adjusted his hat. He tried to put his hands in his pocket, and then he realized he was wearing pajamas and had no pockets. He laughed. "Holy Bagumba," he said softly. "We need a typewriter," said Flora. Ulysses nodded. "We need a typewriter so that we can get to the truth," said Flora. "The truth," said William Spivor, "is a slippery thing. I doubt that you will ever get to the truth. You may get a version of the truth, but the truth, I doubt it very seriously." "Will you please, please shut up, William Spivor?" said Flora. "Shh," said Dr. Misham. "Calm, calm. You should maybe sit and eat a sardine." "I don't want a sardine," said Flora. "I want to know what happened. I want to know where my mother is." Just as she said these words, there was a bang, which was followed by a long, bone-chilling yowl, which was, in turn, followed by a very loud scream. "What was that?" said William Spivor. "That was Klaus," said Flora. "He's attacking someone." There was another scream, and then came the words, "George! George!" "Uh-oh," said Flora's father. "It's Phyllis." "Mom?" said Flora. Ulysses tensed. He dug his claws into Flora's shoulder. Flora looked at him. He nodded. And then Flora's father was running out the door, and Flora was behind him, and William Spivor was behind her. Another of her mother's screams echoed down the hallway. "George! George!" she shouted. "Please tell me that my baby is here." Flora turned and said to Tootie, "Bring the lamp. She's worried about Marianne." There was another scream. It was time again for the squirrel to vanquish a villain. It was time for Ulysses to rescue his arch nemesis. "I'm on it. I'm bringing the lamp." "George? Who will prevail? Who will be vanquished? Please, George, tell me that Flora is here." "Me?" thought Flora. "She's here," said Flora's father. Flora's mother started to cry. "Everyone needs to calm down," said Tootie. "I've got it." She waded into the fray and whacked Mr. Klaus over the head with Marianne. The cat fell to the ground, and the little shepherdess, as if she had astonished by her own act of violence, crumbled. Her face, her beautiful, perfect pink face, broke. There was a tinkle and a crash as the pieces of Marianne's head hit the floor. "Oops," said Tootie, "I broke her." "Uh-oh," said Flora, but her mother wasn't looking at the lamp or what was left of the lamp. She was looking at Flora. "Flora?" her mother said. "Flora, I went home and you weren't there. I was terrified." "Here she is," said William Spiver. He gave Flora a gentle shove towards her mother. "Here I am," said Flora. Her mother stepped over the pieces of the broken little shepherdess. She took Flora in her arms. "My baby," said her mother. "Me?" said Flora. "You," said her mother. Chapter 67, The Horsehair Sofa. Flora's mother was sitting on the horsehair sofa. Flora's father was sitting next to her. He was holding her hand, or she was holding his. In any case, her mother and her father were holding on to each other. Dr. Misham was putting alcohol on Flora's mother's bites and scratches. "Ouch! Ouch! Ooh!" said Flora's mother. "Come," said Dr. Misham to Flora. She patted the horsehair sofa. "Sit down. Here. Beside your mother." Flora sat down on the couch and immediately started to slide off it. Was there a trick to sitting on a horsehair sofa? Because she certainly hadn't mastered it. And then William Spiver sat down beside her so that she had what was wedged in between her mother and him. Flora stopped sliding. "And I went up to your room," said Flora's mother. "I climbed the stairs to your room, and you weren't there." "I was looking for Ulysses," said Flora. "I thought you had kidnapped him." "It's true," confessed her mother. "I did." Ulysses, sitting on Flora's shoulders, nodded. His whiskers brushed her cheek. "I wanted to make things right somehow. I wanted to make things normal," said Flora's mother. "Normalcy is an illusion, of course," said William Spiver. "There is no normal." "Hush up, William," said Tootie. "And then I returned and you weren't there," said Flora's mother. She started to cry again. "I don't care about normal. I just wanted you back. I needed to find you. And here she is, Mrs. Buckman," said William Spiver in a very gentle voice. "Here I am," thought Flora, "and my mother loves me. Holy bagumba." And then she thought, "Oh no, I'm going to cry." And she did cry. Big, fat tears rolled down her face and landed on her horsehair sofa, and she trembled there for a second before they rolled off. "You see," said Dr. Misham. She smiled at Flora. "I told you, this is how it is with this sofa." "Mrs. Buckman," said William Spiver, "what is it that you are holding on to in your hand? What is that piece of paper?" "It's a poem," said Flora's mother, "by Ulysses. It's for Flora." "Look at this," said Tootie. They all turned and looked at Tootie. She was standing by the headless Marianne, who was plugged in and shining. "It still works. Isn't that something?" "Why don't you read the poem, Phyllis?" said Flora's father. "Oh, goody," said Tootie. "A poetry reading." "It's a squirrel poem," said Flora's mother, "but it's a good one." Ulysses puffed out his chest. "Words for Flora," her mother said. "That's the title." "I like that title," said William Spiver. He took hold of Flora's hand. He squeezed it. "Don't squeeze my hand," said Flora. But she held on tightly to William Spiver, and she listened as her mother read the poem that Ulysses had written. Chapter 68, The End, or Something. This poem was just the beginning, of course. There would be more. He needed to write about how they always, always answered the door in Blundermeekin. He needed to write about the saving of Phyllis Buckman from Klaus. He needed to write about Marianne's broken, still shining self, and little fishes. He needed to write a poem about little fishes. Also, he wanted to write about things that hadn't happened yet. For instance, he wanted to write a poem where William Spiver's mother called and asked for him to come home, and a poem where the other Dr. Misham came and visited this Dr. Misham, and sat beside her and hummed to her and watched her sleep. And maybe there would be a poem about a horsehair sofa, and one about a vacuum cleaner. He would write and write. He would make wonderful things happen. Some of it would be true. All of it would be true. Most of it would be true. Ulysses looked out the window and saw the sun glowing on the horizon. Soon it would be time to eat. A wonderful thought occurred to the squirrel. Maybe there would be donuts, giant donuts, for breakfast. Epilogue, Squirrel Poetry. Words for Flora. Nothing would be easier without you, because you are everything, all of it. Sprinkles, quarks, giant donuts, eggs sunny side up. You are the ever-expanding universe to me.